let's just welcome him as he comes and shares with us tonight.
Amen, amen. What was that verse, Psalms 122, what now? 122:9. I didn't know there was a verse 9 in verse 20 in chapter 122. Well, let's just do what the Lord asks us to do. I want to be obedient every time, don't y'all, to the Lord? Maturity is accomplished through acts of obedience. The more me and you are obedient, the more mature we get. Amen? If me and you don't get... If you're saying, well, I'm still acting like a kid, well, the problem is maybe you're not obeying. It's kind of like the Lord is even just whispering this in my ear. As I was sitting over here, as we was worshiping, he reminded me of this. He said, this is something I said to him. I said, Lord, I'll trade treasures and I'll trade fame just to hear you whisper my name. There's nothing greater than to hear your name whispered by an almighty God. Amen. I get up early every morning just wanting to hear his voice. I don't care if he really says anything or talks to me. I just want to hear his voice. His voice is so calming and soothing. It was like my grandfather's when I was a young lad. I could go up to him and sit down beside him in a chair, a rocking chair in his lap, or beside him in a chair that was rocking too. And he'd put his hand right on my knee and just begin to make me feel welcomed, peaceful, and safe right there in my grandfather's hand. What a better representative than a grandfather that does you that way. Amen? Not just talk. I mean, he talked to me, but he showed me by actions. What a great representation of the Heavenly Father. Amen? My God, I don't even know if my grandfather was born again, but I do know this. He was created by God. He was created by God. I do know that. What I want to talk to you tonight about is about the call. When Pastor asked me if I wanted to teach something on February 19th, 2014, I said, well, brother, let me call back tomorrow. Let me see if I'm available. I said, well, Lord, do you got anything you want to say through me to these people? And he said, yes, I do. Tell them about the call. For the sake of the call. I don't know if y'all remember the Stephen Curtis Chapman back in the late 80s. Early 90s, I can't really remember when that song, but for the sake of the call, everything I do, it's for the sake of the call. The calling that he has on my life, I want to do 100% of what he has for me to do here on this earth. Amen? I want all of heaven to come down to Martin and get through this earth and grow not only through my life, but through my family's life. He reminded me as I was worshiping him in this afternoon, you know, I was reminded of the word, in Psalms 101, it says, I will sing of the Lord, oh, I will sing. And the word sing means to show appreciation for someone or something God's brought into your life. That's why I sing. If you're having a problem singing, then you're having a problem thanking him. If you're having a problem thanking him, I would be doubtful if you are getting in his presence, because one of the ways we get into his presence is come in his presence with thanksgiving. And if you're having a problem with Thanksgiving, you're having another problem. Here's the next problem. In his presence is the only places my weaknesses die and his strengths manifest. You see it? As I look through this, have you ever wondered like I did, Lord, when you started this whole thing, what in the world did you have in mind? I ain't been sorry one day since I asked Christ into my heart January 29th, 1992 at 6 a.m. in the morning in a 1986 red Chevrolet pickup. Pulled over to the side of the road and went home and sat for 3 days trying to figure out just what consumed me. Right there. So I was sitting in that, and I thought, well, Lord, he was bringing me back through the call. If you haven't figured out how the Lord calls you, he knows exactly what it's going to take to convince you that you're called by him. And he's calling your name, and he'll say it where you can hear it. He doesn't compete. He doesn't shout. He doesn't throw temper tantrums. He doesn't do any of that. He just talks. He talks more than anyone I know. and he knows everything. So I need to get up early in the morning, every morning, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, said Jesus got up very early in the morning. Very is a good adjective for very early. Early, early in the morning. And went and sat in a solitude place. If you don't have peace in your heart, I would say you need to go to the refuge of his presence. And you will find peace that surpasses all understanding. And I don't care what circumstance you're going through, he is minding your peace. If I lose my peace, I know I've lost time. I'm not spending enough time with him. There's 168 hours in a week. Most people work 50 hours a week. Most people, 7 times 8, sleep 56 hours a week. That's about coming to 100 hours. What do you do with the other 68 hours of your time? Do you spend time listening to him? Because I promise you, my family's been being attacked one time right after another, and I've been called to exercise my faith and move right up in the middle of it. So my son and my daughter-in-law was telling me what was going on. We was getting information, just telling you about how if you'll call upon his name, he says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. I did not know what to do, nor did they know what to do, but I went to the one who knew everything. And he told me exactly what to do. Thank you, sister, for going with us because you are called, Shannon. I called her to go with us, my wife and I did, to go to my family's, and we just got closer and closer, not did only me and my son. But you see, I know that God uses circumstances to do one thing, push me and you closer to him and closer to each other. That's what we're called out to do. I know everybody that's somebody that's got air in their lungs, I know this, is looking somewhere to belong. Do me and you have that peace that surpasses all understanding that they want to come and belong with us? It's my responsibility to make sure you succeed, but if I don't know what's going on in your life and you don't tell me what's going on in your life, I can't help you succeed. There's 4 reasons why people don't succeed. You probably need to write this down. Never depend on your mind or remember something when a pen will work. It'll let you down. I come to church every week or I go somewhere waiting, knowing God's going to tell me something. As it says in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision down. Make it plain. Verse 4 is what Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith. I don't forgot what I was saying. Thank you. You see how peaceful I am. When God first called me, I couldn't even hardly talk. I remember I was sitting in a pew when I was first born again. Now, I don't even think I was born again. Really can't remember. I just remember this. So I'm sitting over there, you know, and it's fixing to be dismissal in prayer. There was about 50 in the church, and Pastor Pennington called on me to pray. Well, I done disconnected, was thinking about where I was going to eat, go home and take a shower, sit where it's nice and cool. You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't disconnect from the service. He called on me to pray. Dismissed for prayer, sister. And Linda went, whoosh. What? He called you to pray. I don't know how. That's what was going on through my mind. Blood sweat beads started coming all over the top of my head. And I somehow worked up, God. And there was a big, long pause. It seemed like 5 minutes to me and Linda, but it was probably 5 seconds. Amen. Well, I was out the door. I was so embarrassed, I didn't show back up for 3 weeks. But God kept calling my name. So as we look at, I'll tell you the 4, and then we'll move forward. Here's the 4 reasons why people or ministries do not succeed. The undecided. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to get all the way in, as Abram did, is what we're fixed to talk about. Or you're going to have to get all the way out because you can't ride the fence, or you're going to get ate up between the legs. I've learned that a long time ago. I'm just going to be real blunt. I see we have some young ears, so I'll keep it clean. But I'm telling you, you've got to decide you're going to follow Christ and you're going to get all the way in and you're going to stay in. You've got to decide that. The next one, excuse me, is the unlearned. You've got to learn how to follow God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "My son, do not forget my teaching." That word son there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 means this, a learner, a pupil. I'm going to be a studier of God because I desire him with all my heart to be up in the middle of my business. He's the only one that got me out of a mess and getting me and my family out of a mess. And he's turned it into a message. You'll see napkins in my Bible. You'll see napkins in my truck. That's really what I ride on as God's dictating things to me just as fast as I can on this thing. And so many people have asked me, "Martin, why you got so many napkins around in your truck and in your Bible?" I said, "This is a symbolic truth. The Lord knows I made a mess of it, and he's given me a message from his word to clean up my messes." You see it? So it's the undecided. You need to say this with me. Undecided, the unlearned. I got to remember what the third one was. Holy Spirit, tell me what the third one was. The unfocused. You've got to get to a place. So here's faith. As we'll get to God's calling as he did at Abraham, but what that looks like in your life. Here's faith. You brought a pen and a piece of paper knowing he's going to talk to you. When you get up in the morning by yourself and you're spending time with him, here's faith. I'm just expecting him to talk and tell me how to get ready for the day. He doesn't tell me everything that's going on, but what he does tell me will help me move through the day. You see it? I ain't got to my message yet. We'll get to that in a minute. Where are we at on number three? Okay, number four. Unpassionate. You ever seen somebody that's passionate? I remember when I was dating for Linda. That's my wife of over 36 years now. I was very passionate. If you want to be desired, do something desirable. And when I'd see Linda, I'd say, "What do you like?" And I'd see what she, now here's where me and Linda, here's how shy me and Linda was. We didn't like going in restaurants and eating. We didn't like being in front of people, so we went to the Sonic. Oh, the main reason why we went to the Sonic was I was pretty cheap. I didn't have no money. She had all the money. "So, honey, you take me where you think we ought to go." She said Sonic then every time. Thank you. I like that. You see it? I want you to get the four. If your life is not succeeding, you're not blaming God. You're blaming yourself. You're the only one that could stop you. You are the only one who could stop you. The only way you're going to succeed is if you start learning. What was the second one? I'm sorry, the first one. Decide. Learn. Focus. And have passion about it. Because he has passion to you. I know his scripture says in Psalm 17, he talks about, "I am the apple of his eye." I don't really know what that means. I ain't got time to go in a lot of romance right now. The Lord's really showed me a whole lot of stuff. But I really know I am. I just have to believe that. I am a receiver of him, from him and him alone. I'm receiving wisdom just as fast as I can partake of it day in and day out, and I'm passionate on every one that has ears to hear. The cry of Jesus' heart was the church to have ears to hear. That was the main cry of Jesus. You can read that in Revelations if you'd like. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. I'll talk real fast. Try not to talk too fast. The word Genesis means in the beginning, or the word means beginning. So that's the reason why I go. If I really want to know what God had intentions of when he started this thing, I need to go in the beginning. So he started with Abram. So let's read this and talk a little bit about it. If you got questions, that's fine. Do you know what? Me and you, our God is as close as the next conversation that comes out of mine in your mouth. Our God is as close as the next conversation. In other words, if me and you'll just turn our heads and talk to Him, I promise you He'll talk back. If me and you have ears to hear. So let's read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says now, that means now. Calls even now. Suddenly is what that word even turned into. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. You know what? What he's talking about right there in that first verse, I'm just going to boil it down in a nutshell. He's saying everything you're familiar with, I'm fixing to really mess you up. You ain't going to be familiar with it because you're fixing to go on a faith walk. In other words, the road ahead is a spiritual walk with God. That's all it is. It's a spiritual walk, and it kind of looks like this. So when I was sitting and started reading this chapter, and when I was about a year old, here was the call of my life to preach and teach the Word of God. Went just like this. My son was sitting right there. So if you don't believe me and you don't believe him, then I'm sorry. You're just going to have to believe God. But here's the way the call works that got my attention to hear his voice. I was born again, but in early 1993, here's how the call come on my life. And he knew how to talk to me. And we're sitting just about like the praise and worship just went through there. 400 people was in the church. It was like sardine style. Why? Because he was there. That's the reason why the church was full, because he was there. I'm talking sardine style. I mean, we really knew each other. We could smell each other. And we talked to each other all the time, because it took a while to get out of the church because everybody had to shuffle out of the church. It was that tight. Because he was there. So I'm sitting there on the front pew with 100 students right over here and the rest of the church full up. And I'm sitting there minding my own business worshiping God. It'll take you a minute to get that. I was just minding my own business. And as I'm worshiping the Lord, these thoughts come to me. And, you know, the praise and worship band was fixing to wind down. It was going down. And here's the thoughts come to me. He said, now, Martin, I want you to go all the way to the pulpit and stand up there, and I'll tell you what to say when you get there. I ain't never heard of nothing like this. Yeah, right. I went back to worshiping. So as I was sitting there, it just kept, Martin, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you as what was happening. Literally, as he was calling Abraham, he was calling me out to everything I was familiar with, he was wanting me to walk away from and put my total faith and trust in him. I know that now. I didn't know that then. But he knew how to get my attention, and the thought come on my head again. Martin, I want you to go to the pulpit, and I'll tell you what to say when you get there. Yeah. All right, Lord. I've been going to church as a young lad, so I ain't never seen this happen. So I said, God, I'll make a deal. If my pastor says anything, here's why you want a spirit-led pastor. If my pastor gets up there and does anything out of the normal, I'll do it. Pastor Phil walked up into the pulpit. Now I'm going, well, this is good. He opens his Bible, and he starts reading, and he stops. And I thought, phew, I'm out of this thing. I must not have been hearing God. He closes his Bible. It says, well, whoever's supposed to come up here, I can't do anything until you get up here and do what you're supposed to do. And he went and sat down. Now, here's how I was in a seat like you're sitting in. I'm sitting there going, yeah, man, this is good. Sweat rolling off my head. I'm sitting there, and I'm going, yeah, I'll pass that. Oh, yeah. So I didn't want to be in front of nobody, not in the limelight. Uh-uh. And when he said that, I went, oh, my God. And he went and sat down. And everybody's just going. I went up there, and I'm kicking the pulpit like this. Whoosh, whoosh. And I'm saying stuff. I don't really know what I'm saying. pray for my family, do this, this. And all of a sudden, this comes out of my mouth. Oh, yeah, I believe the Lord's calling me into the ministry, and I'm asking y'all to pray for me. And that was it. The pastor and the song leader, worship leaders prayed for me, and I went and sat down, and I went and said, Linda, what did I just say? And she said, I promise you, he's called you to a faith walk. I've had to learn what that looked like as the time goes along. But I promise you, if you have ears to hear, he will talk to you. I don't care what stage of life you're in. He's just like Abram. And he said he would be a father to all them families. That's me and you. And I wanted to make this simple enough, if a freshwater trout was sitting there, he could get it. Because God has a purpose for your life, and if you let light shine in your heart and let him send you wherever he wants to, you can carry his light to their darkness and make their world light. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you attempt? I've seen God do a lot of things in my life and through my life, but here's kind of the way this works. If God is so great and his work is so great in my life, then great things ought to be coming out of me. And Jesus even said you would do greater things than these. Have you reached that point yet? Do you ever find yourself on the pages of the Word of God just living it? I don't just read it. I don't memorize it. I meditate on it and find myself living the pages of the Word of God. And you, I'll say this to you. I've been mad at God. I've been frustrated at God, but I ain't ever been bored. You see it? I'm just being honest with you. He's so good. He's so good to me. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Here's what I was even say. I believe mothers will have the greatest mansions, some of the greatest mansions, let me change my words, some of the greatest mansions in heaven. Why? I believe they've endured so many painful actions and words from their husbands and from people and from their kids. I believe God has got mansions. See it? So, mothers, if you're enduring something, just say this season is just for a little time. I don't know how, clue why, who that was for, but just receive that. I've learned to bask and just enjoy to be in the presence of the Lord, so I don't get in no hurry no more. Here's what I like about Pastor Mike. Let me do it this way. He's figured out, and I see this in the praise and worship band. Here's what I like about everything that's done on this stage. I've seen so many ministers, male and female, talk down to people from this platform, not here, other places. But God's called me and you. And them that's up here in this platform, it gets up in this platform to come up to this standard, to praise in this standard, to talk, to think, to act like it, walk like it, talk like it, sing like it, love like it. It's what's so great. The reason why this platform is elevated is because this is what we're trying to get from and to. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. That's what put me and you on common ground. I ain't better than you, and you ain't better than me. So it's going to take us both to get wherever we're trying to be. And we're trying to get to this standard. And the reason why I know a man or a woman didn't write this is because they wouldn't have wrote a standard that high. This is nearly impossible to pull off. Without his work. You see it? Let's read on. I want to see this. Look at that in verse 2. I didn't bring my glasses with me, so I'm mainly running off of Memorex. The last part of verse 1, it says, go to the land I will show thee. You know what that word show there in the original Hebrew text means? It's where me and you get the word video. So what do you do with a video or a DVD player? You play it over again. The things I've gone through with God, God's gone through with me, that's built my faith in Him. If I need some faith built, all I do is use my Memorex in my mind of how God's walked with me and took me through some things and got me onto the other side. That's what He's saying, I'll show you. Don't y'all like the verse? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future." You know what was happening when Jeremiah wrote that? They were running into, Babylonians were running them, the Israelites, into 70 years of captivity. And God planted that verse right up in the middle of His heart at that time. Now that's a good verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, or the thoughts I have for you." God's got big plans for you. When are you going to start thinking like that? I spend more money on my mind than I do anything. On my clothes, on my fingernails, on my shoes, on my cars. Because if my mind's healthy, my life is healthy. If my mind is unhealthy, everything's unhealthy. Believe me, ask my wife of 36 years. She wants me to spend time with the Lord. She said, "Martin, because you ain't worth a flip to hang around if you ain't been with Him." I clean my version up a little bit. You see it? Let's read on. Verse 2. "And I will make..." Now, God's responsible for this. I like that responsibility being on God, don't y'all? "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great." When somebody talks about you, calls your name, what kind of reputation do you have? When I started walking with Him, my reputation went this way, especially in my home. Reason why I had such a good reputation out in the workforce and everybody at church is because nobody went home with me. My wife wants me to spend time on here. "Baby, what you need? You need coffee? You need honey? What do you need in your coffee to get you to stay out there a little longer? You're more pleasant to be around when you hang out with Him." And that word blessing, I ain't got time to go through both of them. Them two words, bless and bless, are two different things. But that second bless means this: the benefits of favor. I work over here at Pflugerville, driving a school bus. Guess who's got the best route? Favor of God. I can't help but succeed as long as I keep following Him. I ain't got to worry about no retirement. He is my retirement. Me and Linda decided about 2 years ago, because my wife's a social worker in nursing homes. She loves to minister to the elderly people and whoever else is in there. But we've decided we ain't going out that way. We're going out with a shout. I better calm down. Verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless you, and curse those who curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You're going to love this. I'm thinking, okay, He's going to bless me and He's going to curse those who curse me. I'm going, where did I sign up for that? I got a lot of enemies. I don't know about y'all. I got lots of enemies. And I'm going, I'm signing up for this right here. Because if you jack with me, He's going to jack with you. It goes like this. I'll back the verse up. So, I was going to church, ministering in student ministry and doing some other stuff around. And in this, hold your finger there and turn to Psalms 109. But here's what happened about the curse. And the word curse here, part of the curse word means here, empty. This young man come and live with me, which was my nephew, had a bad reputation. I had a good reputation because I've been walking with God for a while. He had a horrible one. He had a horrible life. So we brought him in to live with us. And when we brought him in to live with us, that bad reputation caught up with my house. He was accused at school of keying a truck, a teenager's truck. They were 11th and 12th graders. Keyed a truck, and the one that is accusing him is the young man I had just led to Christ about 3 months earlier, and his family. No proof of nothing. No witnesses, no nothing. So they're calling. The daddy calls me. He's a multimillionaire. Called me and said, Martin, I believe you need to pay for my son's truck. And I said, sir, I said, do you have any proof of anything else or any witnesses that seen my grandson, my nephew, of doing this? He said, no, I ain't paying for nothing. You know what he did? He started talking bad about me. I mean, running his lips. And then all of a sudden, I got madder and madder. Started getting heated and heated. You know, I was ready to go confront face to face. Don't know what I'm talking about. Confrontation. So the Lord somehow got Psalms 109 to me. If we'll just read it together. Great verse, because I've learned how to use the Word of God, and it's the only time I've used the Word of God. There's two or three other times I wanted to use it, but God's grace and mercy was so big in my heart I couldn't use the verse of what somebody else attacked me for. So this is what happened. Excuse me. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I gave myself unto prayer. So here's what happened. Instead of me going handling the situation myself, I went to the secret place of the Lord and went to praying about the situation. Lord, you know what they're doing. I don't know everything. My mind could be running away with itself. I've heard a little bit about them talking about me, but I am relying on you to take care of my enemies. 3 weeks went by. Here's what happened in them 3 weeks. They took me to small claims court. Another man I go to church with, his daughter just got pregnant. She just was born again in the seventh grade. Got pregnant and everything, and I'm walking beside this guy. I go to small claims court. The judge had no proof, no witnesses or nothing. He sided against me too. He said, Martin, you're going to have to pay to have that brand new truck repainted. Okay. But in 3 more weeks, that multimillionaire's business, when people start messing with God's people, here's what happened. God moved his business and took all of his money plumb out of the state of Texas in 3 weeks because I'm a man of prayer. I was relying on my faith in God that he would deal with it the way he would deal with it, because I know whatever he did would be just and righteous. So I'm not a vindicator of myself no more. He is. I just call upon the one that vindicates me. You see it? So as we turn back, let me finish through this right quick. Look in verse 10. You know what happens as you're walking with God? Here's what will happen. It'll happen just like this. Famines has come up in your life. A lack. Famines are saying there's really, 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 really nothing to eat or drink. That's what a famine is. Right? So here's what I see in this. Let's read it together in verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Verse 15. Say, I pray thee, Thou art my sister, that I may be well, that it may be well with me for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now here's, let me show you, let me just share something with you right quick in this. When famines come up, that's mine and your sin. Sin's showing up, because when we're really squeezed is when sin starts really coming out. It starts really oozing out when me and you are squeezed. There's a lack of things in our life. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of joy, love, all the fruits of the spirits there it talks about. Well, as we're being squeezed, this sin comes to the top. Here's where most Christians drop out, saying, no, the Christian life is not working for me. Yes, it's working just fine. God is trying to deal with mine and your weaknesses, but they got to come to the top. He has to turn the heat up in mine and your life, bad circumstances. And as we, that the dross comes to the top, because what's not reflecting him, he's trying to rake it off and confront that, them issues there. How do I know? Here's what happened to Abram right here. What was he doing? He was asking his wife to lie. This woman was the three G's, godly, great, and gorgeous, according to the scriptures, right? She was something to look at. God said, but man looks at the outer part, but God looks at the heart. This woman was a saint. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, when famine's really coming, mine, in your life, when things, circumstances are coming and squeezed, right here, God is trying to get that stuff to the top so he can deal with it. Here's the way it works like this. Most people don't like confrontation. Here's what the word confrontation means. If I confront you, whether it be me confronting you or God confronting you, I'm saying I want the relationship to remain. But if I don't confront you, I'm saying I don't really give a rip if you're in my life. That's why God uses these things to bring all this stuff to come to the top. You see it? And he's saying, boy, my grace and mercy will cover all that. Aren't you so thankful for the blood of Jesus? Nothing greater, nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. But I don't want to stay at the cross. He's done too much to take me beyond the cross. So, let me ask something. Has anybody got anything right now they'd just like to share to build faith? I've been building your faith on what I've been going through, my personal life, my calling on my life. I'll even tell you a couple other things right quick, a calling just to build faith. If you're going to be in the healing ministry or whatever God wants you to be, you better learn how to build faith. And that's where you better go back and remember what God's done in your life and through your life to build your faith or whatever he's called you to do, or you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. So he's calling. He called me away from my homes, my job. Oh, that got real interesting. Horrible transition. But if God's calling you out of your job or out of selling your homes like he did me, I promise you, you want to talk to me and I want to talk to you, because I want to know what you know and I want you to know what I know. That's what makes me and you necessary for each other's life. So it kind of went like this. The Lord was calling me to sell my company. A little bit of background in about 36 seconds about my company. Every day from when I was 25 years old till I was 31, born again, until the Lord called me to sell my company, was this. I made $1,000 every day. Most days I made $5,000 to $10,000 a day. You better have some faith in who you're walking with. Do you know what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. The word trust is where me and you get the word attachment. Attaching on a video. When me and you really know what we've attached ourselves to, we ain't going to have a problem with following him. Here's the problem. The problem is, if you're having a problem following him, you don't know what you're attached to yet. You need to go back to the Word of God and be around the people of God so you can find out more than you already know. I love to ask questions, and so do they too, these ladies over here. You know why? I want to know what they know, and they want to know what I know. Wisdom is the ability to discern difference. And everybody in here comes with a measure of wisdom. And I want to know what you know. I want to know what you know about God, but if you don't have me and you don't have a relationship, I can't do that. There's people all over here that I've had a relationship, and people that's not even in this church, but I've learned about them, and they've shared things with me and help me in my own personal life. You see it? That's what we're called out to do. Families are saying, I've been through this. You know what? I've seen some people as of lately, I just feel, boy, it's just rising up in my heart. That feel like they can't do it because they come from the wrong side of the track. You didn't come from your mom and daddy. You come through your mom and daddy. You come from God. He dreamed you up. Have anybody in here ever felt misunderstood? The Holy Spirit, you really want to get to know, because He's one who made you, created you, and the only one capable of understanding you. I remember early years, about 15 years into mine and my Linda's marriage, here was a famine. Lord Jesus, if you just show me what to do with my wife, it'll be a miracle. And I'm going, oh, Lord, God, she's crazy. I just don't understand her. And that was kind of what I was going to. And here's what He whispered back to me. He said, Martin, are you telling me I make junk just because you don't understand it? You want to come out of your famine in your marriage? Get closer to Him. And I want to know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit and what grieves Him, what brings Him pleasure, so I don't have no more famines in my life. That's what Abram did. And here's what I want you to see, this last verse. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 25, and I'll be through. Verse 7. Don't you love your church? We're the called out ones. That's what church means. In original text, that's what it means. You're called out to go be salt and light. In other words, salt means preserve. Have you preserved the gospel into somebody else, massaged it into their lives, and be there for them day in and day out? So it'll be preserved in their life. We're one generation away from the gospel not being known, according to Joshua. I know Abram, his daddy was an idol worshiper. You can look that up in Joshua chapter 24. I won't tell you what verse. You can do your own homework. I'll get you in the ballpark if you really want to know. But Abram's daddy was an idol worshiper. And God called him out of that. Not to dishonor our parents in any way. That ain't what He's called us out. He's called us out to show a difference. I say this to you. 1 year after I was born again, I've never heard my daddy cry. He's a sergeant in the Marines. I've never even heard him say a whole lot of nothing. He just did what he did and went about his business, and he was a good provider and stuff. But a year later, I never witnessed with him to my dad with my mouth. What he seen was the change. He called me at 9:30 at night on a Wednesday night. He just got out of church, and he was crying like a little baby. I didn't even know who it was, and I knew there was a change. And he said, son, just because I knew you. I knew you very well, and that kind of change can only come with something that's real. And my dad was born again. You see it? See, God can call some nobodies and make them into some somebodies. He's a deacon in the church now. God has brought us out of our famine. He's called us out of that mess. We're not perfect, but we're butted up to the perfect one. We still got issues to deal with, but I know who to go to help me deal with issues. I've learned how to wait. I've learned what to do while I'm waiting on God to do something in my family. I've learned how to get along with God. Watch this. Verse 7, Genesis chapter 25, verse 7. Well, I just want to hear somebody's voice. Somebody just stand up and read it real bold. You know, God's called us to boldness. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Finish it a little bit, if you will, son. Yeah. Yes. He went to a place called, he left a place called Haran. The word Haran there, that town there, means a place of the past. In other words, we had to leave the place of the past. We learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. That's the whole reason why I'm moving away from that. It's not that we're no better. God's just trying to set us apart for the work of the greatness that he's doing in our lives. And what I like about it, Abram left at 75 years old, and according to verse 7 in chapter 25, he died 175 years. And that one word, there's three words there, but I'll just use one. He said he died satisfied. You see it? Are you satisfied? I'm content. But I ain't satisfied. So I'm asking you, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you attempt? I remember when I was, before I come here, I'm trying to remember your name. Sister Cheryl. Lord showed this to me and he just reminded me. He said, now, Martin, I want you to IHOP before you leave there tonight, not go to the International House of Pancakes. He said, I want you to go to, internationally, I want you to go to the House of Prayer. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of the International House of Prayer, but there's a lady you need to hear, one of the ladies that are there. There's wonderful prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is all praise becomes prophetic. That's the reason why I like Pastor James and the worship team right here. Because if you don't praise and you ain't going to fool God, it never prophecy never comes. Not from him. I don't have time to go in that. But I promise you, thinking about this, let's just pray with our eyes open. Father, we just come to you thanking you for the report we got that Pastor Mike and Jack and the rest of that group that's down there together. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that your perfect will would be done. Not one stone would go, not unturned, if you want to turn it. God, I pray that they would see details, because we know you work in the details, and if we allow the Lord to work in the details of our lives and their lives up there, then we will reap God-like results. To build your kingdom. Lord, this is not a democracy. This is a king trying to get his kingdom to his people. And thank you for Pastor Mike leading out in that and whoever else is down there. Lord, I just pray that they would encounter you in the way they've never had before. Open their eyes to see things that they've never seen. Open their ears so they may hear what you are doing. And faith comes by hearing. What me and you keep hearing, we eventually believe. So, Lord, we're believing that you are going to accomplish everything and anything you wanted to do through Pastor Mack and the rest of that team. Amen? Amen? Is anybody else supposed to pray? This thing right here, all of us have giftings. Our giftings are not our decisions, they're our discovery. How do you discover your giftings? Well, you can read. Yes, that's one. What do you love to do? What do you like? What you just can't live without? Okay, to go to the flip side of that. What do you hate? What in the world do you see that's bothering you that you just hate it? Maybe it's something God's called you to fix. Instead of hating people or what's going on, he's probably called you to help fix it. Is anybody else supposed to pray? This ain't about me. This is about him and his giftings in us.
Can I build a little faith? Is that all right? This morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock, and usually when I'm on an intercessory mission, it's 3 o'clock that I'm getting up. And so then all of a sudden, my fire, my little smoke detectors started going off in my bedroom, and then it stopped. So I got up, and you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm awake, I'm ready. So I went into prayer. I don't always know why I'm praying, but I went into prayer, and then I went in to read this book that I'd been reading. And one of the stories was about the apple of my eye that Martin just referred to just a few minutes ago. And maybe this is for somebody, but the story about that you are the apple of his eye, in the story, this woman was saying that she used to be around her father, and he wouldn't look at her. She would always see the side of his face, okay? And so when she went to the scripture that says that you are the apple of my eye, what that really means is that it's the little man of the eye. And if you think about it, when you look in somebody's eye, you can, if you look really close enough, you can see your reflection in the pupil, right? And what that means is that you have God's full face, that God is looking at you directly. You're not just seeing the side of his face. And so I just wanted to build some faith that I think your message is right on, and thank you so much for bringing it tonight.
Well, when you told us to pray with our eyes open, I just kept my eyes open, and I said, God, what do you want me to see? And as soon as you said that, I saw Pastor Mike with fire coming behind him, and then I saw, And I asked God, I said, do you want me to share that? And then she said, fire. And I said, okay, God, I will. So I just feel like we need to pray over Pastor Mike, because this is going to be a very impacting trip for him. And God's going to call him out of his comfort zones, and there's going to be holy fire coming upon them as they minister. So, Father God, right now, we just lift up Pastor Mike to you and the team, Father God. We thank you, Father Jesus, that you are over them right now, Father God, that you have anointed him, Father God, to come with your holy fire, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, as they are ministering, God, that your fire is just coming on people, Father God, and they are going to be renewed. They are going to be under the fire of God, and they are going to be purified with your holiness, Father God. There's just going to be a revival of holiness that comes forth with the words that are being preached out of his mouth, Father God. I thank you for just encouraging Pastor Mike right now where he's at, Father God, that you are stirring him up, Father God, that his spirit is being stirred up right now, Father God. I thank you, God, that you're giving him fresh revelation, Father God, as he prays over everybody and lays hands on them, Father God, that they will be met by the fire consequences, that they will be met by good things, Father God. They will be met by encouraging words, Father God. There will be amazing grace, Father God, that is poured out all over them, Father God. Thank you for your love and your mercy seat, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
If you can't get bold in here, you ain't gonna get bold out there.
This message was so on point for me. Up until 8 years ago, I was a minister. I'm an ordained minister, and I've been preaching the gospel. And I went through a divorce, and I became ashamed. So I ran away to Austin. That's why I'm here. Yesterday, on Friday, this guy came to where I work, because I work at a First Texas Honda. I work at the coffee bar. And one of the customers came up to the coffee bar, and he started talking to me. We were just laughing and talking. All of a sudden, he started telling me the story of Jonah. Now, he didn't even know I was a Christian, but he just started telling me the story of Jonah. And as he was talking to me, I knew it was the Lord talking to me. So I told him, I said, I'm really not liking you right now. I said, because you're talking to me. And he just started smiling, and he just kept talking. And then after a while, he walked away. And on his way out, he backed up. He said, you're going to be getting spit up on shore in a few days. And then he walked out. And now you're here tonight talking about walked away from. So this message, if it wasn't for nobody, it was for me. I felt, because I had gone through a divorce, that God couldn't use me anymore. And so I just came here and got lost.
because nobody didn't know. But God sent this man from just out of nowhere to my job to confront me.
And you know, it's kind of a humbling thing. Jesus said it, but I'm just going to quote the Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me. Now, anointing is the same thing Christ means, the anointed one. And the anointing you honor is the anointing you receive. Jesus, everything he did was anointed to do. Go to the cross, pay a debt we couldn't pay, put us back by us where we could be back in relationship with the Father in heaven, correct? And now the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. You say that about yourself. And you're going to have a healthy confidence. You're going to have a healthy confidence in his work in you and then eventually come through you. He'll just meet us right where we're at. But he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. And he's called us to preach the good news or declare the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to declare liberty. To declare liberty. The things that was going on in my son's house and over in that part of, over in the main area, God, I went and got another friend of mine and we prayed it together about it by the phone. Got together the next morning and God showed us exactly what to do. That's the reason why I called Shannon to go with us and my wife and Martin and his family was over there. And I just had in my mind when the Lord showed us that thing, it's done. And ministry's not convenient. I come all the way from Athens, Texas, of getting ready to do something in old Mexico. And the Lord said, you got to go tonight. And I got to go to work the next morning at 4:30. So I don't even run through my head no more. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, if he's called me to it, he's going to have to empower me to get through some of these things. Even though I'm 50 plus years old, I'm still in good shape and I am responsible to keep myself in shape. You see it? Does anybody need to make a decision for the Lord? They don't get no better than this. Any kind of decision. This is my son. He's a junior.
In the last 2 weeks, I've surrendered back in to go back into the ministry. Back in 2004, I surrendered to go to the ministry, but I did a lot of running. Ran all the way to Reno and came all the way back. But I need y'all's prayers. My family needs y'all's prayers. Another thing is back in, this is for somebody. The Lord told me to come up here and share this with y'all. I've never shared this really with hardly anybody. Back in 1994, I was about 13, 14 years old, and I was a good football player. And before a football game, I thought it was cool to tell one of, or to, I was sitting there talking with one of my buddies, and I said, man, it'd be really cool to break your leg and win a football game. You know, just the explosive, I just said it, I don't know why I said it. 15 minutes into that game, I broke my leg. You know, I found out then at 14 years old how powerful your word is. You know, it's like a two-edged sword. It's in the Bible. Two-edged sword. You know, you can either speak life into something or you can speak death into something. And this week, I would challenge y'all to speak life into each other's life.
Well, anytime somebody asks for prayers, then son, if you'll come back up here, and sister, I'm as you as the authority, this church. And then there's power in numbers. So I'm asking all that would come and just lay their hands on my son or the one in front of you for this calling to the ministry and then the help. And can I say one last thing? You know, I'll submit to a 5-year-old. I'll submit to a 12-year-old if I realize and recognize it's under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is my dominant mentor. He has the last say-so with the Word of God. So thank you for letting me share tonight, sister, and putting your trust in me.
Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that, Father, your word is truth. And, Father, as this young couple stand here tonight, Lord, Father, there's something about running from God. But, Father, there's something about running back to him. And, Father, I know that the latter will be greater than the former. And everything that the enemy has tried to steal or has stolen, it's time to pay back in the name of Jesus. And therefore, I declare over this couple tonight that what has been set before them from before the foundation of the earth will come about. And that, Father, it'll be greater and mightier than ever thought of or dreamed of even in their hearts, Father. And so, Father, we thank you that what the enemy has meant for evil, Lord, you're turning it around for good. And that, Father, that your anointing is great and mighty. But, Father, I pray for timing in their life. I pray that you would give them the timing. Father, I pray that, Lord, I sense there's healing that needs to take place in the hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring about healing. Healing and restoration, Father. Whatever it is, Lord, you know them. You're their Abba Father. You're their daddy. And so, Father, I know you love them and you care about them, and we commit them to you, Father. Here tonight, as witnesses, we commit them to you. That, Father, as they go forth, they will turn around and say, look what the Lord has done for their family, for their children, and for their lives, Father. And, Father, I pray that every prayer that has been prayed over them, that is of you, Father, would come to pass. That every tear that has been shed, Father, you've collected it, and joy comes in the morning. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that in their lives. We thank you for what you're doing in them. And that, Father, your word said that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, and it shines brighter and brighter till the fullness, Father. And so we thank you for their lives. We commit them to you. We commit their whole household and every part that is represented in their household, Father, that the glory of the God will shine greatly and mightily, Father. Give them ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them. And we thank you for their lives, and we commit it to you, Father. And we will rejoice with them as you do great and mighty things. And we give you praise and honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.